Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. The fall ratings came out for the city of Los Angeles. All talk stations in L.A., in the toilet, all stations catering to male listeners, male numbers, all down. Everybody that plays all those love songs, all those cats that are running all that groovy-ass smash, you know, whatever, all that chick stuff. All the guys running the Jewel music, all the guys running the Tori Amos stuff, all of those guys that are, you know, whatever it is, Smash Mouth, I don't care. They all went up. So it was not a good day at Black Rock for us dirty-talking, male-oriented talk show hosts. And let me tell you something, the reason why. Talk radio's dead. It's dead. If only guys like me would get the clue and start getting serious about life and quit with this falderall, maybe we'd all be better off. But no. No, we have to be doing magnets pulling airplanes out of the sky. 1-800-449-8686. On the line is Art Griego. He is a pilot in the Los Angeles area. Art, we were talking, we're going to go to some more phone calls. Your theory basically being that the LAPD brought down the Alaska Airlines jet to take a focus off of them, take the focus off of them for their wrongs.
Well, the Rampart Division.
Yeah, the Rampart Division's accusations, the accusations against them for misdeeds and abuse of power, right?
Yeah, you've got a police department that's in serious, serious trouble. And it would just be a very small thing for them to be able to get some of these utility magnets, create an air disaster, and get themselves off of the front page. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, Phil. Yesterday afternoon at approximately 2:16, vessels operating under the auspices of the United States Coast Guard in conjunction with the United States Naval Construction Battalion at Port Hueneme, California, located in approximately 650 feet of water, the voice recorder. Now, I want you to know something. In 1995, an elderly woman by the name of Rose DeWitt Decatur was on the back of a research vessel in the North Atlantic that was privately chartered to photograph and recover parts of the wreckage of the Titanic. Late in the evening, she walked to the stern of this ship and tossed an expensive sapphire necklace called the Coeur de la Mer, or the heart of the ocean, heart of the sea. She threw it into the North Atlantic, Phil. This was a necklace that had been originally given to her by a young suitor aboard, you guessed it, the Titanic in 1912. Yesterday afternoon, Phil, United States Coast Guard vessels and United States Naval Construction Battalion vessels located along with the voice recorder in 650 feet of water, the heart of the sea diamond.
The same diamond that
woman had thrown into the water in 1995. Now, to answer your question, how did it make it from the North Atlantic to the...
Well, obviously, that's the first question. How does something like that go from the North Atlantic to the Pacific? But also, was this a very expensive... What, was this something... She was a passenger on the Titanic?
She was one of the only survivors of the Titanic, yes. And she had been given this diamond. She threw this in the ocean.
Well, I won't even get into why.
Well, it's a complicated story. But the research vessel people were trying to recover this. She threw it in the ocean. Now it's been found again.
All right. How does something like that make it from the North Atlantic to the Pacific?
Hey, Phil, better question. How is it that we find sharks in the Pacific Ocean that have been in the Gulf? How is it that we find residual of what sharks have been eating in the Gulf in their stomach we find in the Pacific Ocean? All kinds of things are possible in terms of the Gulf Stream and, you know, the way that the ocean flows.
But so this lady had the heart of the... What is it?
The heart of the sea. It's called the Coeur de la Mer. The heart of the sea was given to her by a young suitor. She threw it in the ocean. They recovered it yesterday.
Okay, what has this got to do with the scandal?
There you go. The fact is, the Los Angeles Police Department wants to get its hands on that. And the best way to do that is under the cover of an investigation into the crash of an airliner. This is a police department that will stop at nothing.
All right. Art Griego is on the line with us. Number is 1-800-449-8686. He's a pilot. We're talking about the downing of the Alaska Airlines jet and the Ramparts, the LAPD Ramparts Division scandal. Here is Largo on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
This is Scott from Largo.
Hi, Scott.
I'm a pilot, too, but that's not really why I called. I love a good conspiracy theory. anything on an airplane can jam for myriad reasons, just like bizarre things can happen, and truth is often stranger than fiction. However,
that's true.
The theory about bringing down a large airliner with a utility-type magnet handheld, it doesn't hold any water for the simple reason if you take two small bar magnets and pull them apart and get them about an inch away from each other, they no longer have that effect where they draw each other together. And the formula for that is very simple.
Well, they're directional magnets, high utility technology, technologically advanced directional magnets that you can do it with.
Well, you can have powered electromagnets, Art, but powered electromagnets, for example, will pick up a 2,000-pound car.
You're talking about the Los Angeles police. They're capable of a lot of things.
I'm talking about physics and magnetism in
general. No, but I'm saying the LAPD could get a hold of the equipment you're talking about.
I'm talking about physics and magnetism in general, the principles of magnetism.
All right, well, you don't know what this police force is capable of.
I'm just saying physics and magnetism, once a powered electromagnet is about 2 feet away,
Whatever.
It can no longer pick up a 2,000-pound car. It may be
I'm not talking about it being able to.
Car.
I'm talking
now,
about it messing with
away,
the electromagnetic, the magnetics of the navigational equipment. Okay.
Bill, I can't even
not about
what
the
I'm
fact,
saying here.
Not about the fact.
Well, what are you saying, Art?
I'm saying we're not talking about it pulling metal. We're talking about it messing with the navigational equipment.
Okay. The principle of magnetism.
The LAPD can do that, just as they're trying to get this heart of the sea diamond.
No one.
All right. Okay.
Phil. No
All right. You're saying it's impossible.
Physics, in terms of physics and the principle of magnetism, it is impossible for those utility magnets, no matter how high powered or electromagnetically powered they are, to deviate an airliner. Now,
whatever.
Magnetic fields around the Earth can fluctuate.
Well, this man's making a good point. He's making a good point. Why are you saying whatever?
Whatever. The point is, LAPD, LAPD, my friend, LAPD.
Well, typically, in a debate, when someone has been robbed of their point, it results in whatever. That's all I'm saying is in
whatever.
Terms of physics and magnetism.
All right. We heard it. Thank you. All right, thanks a lot. Here is Fargo on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I about reference of the guy that just called about the heart of the ocean deal. I've seen the movie
Sir, could you hold on for just a minute?
Okay.
First of all, I lost Mr. Griego, so we're going to have to get him back. I'll have the gentleman on line four hang up, or hang on. Get the guy on line four to hang on, Mike. The guy on four to hang on, and we'll take a break right now because we got to get Mr. Griego back. Somehow I lost the connection here. It's Phil Hendry's show here. Art Griego, my guest. He believes that the Alaska Airlines jet was brought down by disgruntled Ramparts Division police officers using a giant magnet. Not only to cover up their misdeeds in the Rampart Division, but to get a hold of the Heart of the Sea diamond, which was thrown into the North Atlantic by Rose DeWitt Picator, a survivor of the Titanic crash. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Santa Monica Civic Auditorium. The paint's coming off the walls. Mike Schaefer and his friends will be there, but no one else. Rush. Yes, Mike Schaefer's favorite band will be there in his backyard because that's the only gig they'll be able to get. Rush. Come to Mike Schaefer's backyard. He'll be having a barbecue and playing a lot of their records. Rush at Mike Schaefer's house this Friday night. Okay, anyway. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Look at that. We got our friend Melissa is in there, more than just a friend, a member of our family, and she can't believe that Schaefer's into Rush. What have I been telling you? It's a frightening thing. I keep trying to tell you in a nice way. Don't let too many people know it. Whatever. That's what my friend Art Griego has been saying. 1-800-449-8686. Let's get back to Mr. Art Griego and his theory that the Alaska Airlines jet was brought down by Ramparts Division police officers, and also that they found this necklace. I didn't know anything about this necklace.
Yeah, Phil, it's called the Cora de la Mer. It's the heart of the sea. The lady threw it in the ocean. She was a survivor from the Titanic.
And she threw it into the ocean?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here is Fargo on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I was just going to comment on The Heart of the Ocean. That was a movie. It's called Titanic. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
The movie was the recounting of the sinking of the Titanic.
It was a recounting of a perspective, fictional Heart of the, The Heart of the Ocean was a fictional deal, including Rose and Jack.
Well, how do you
Either
know that?
Either of them are not on. I mean,
how do you know that?
I know that because I look into the Titanic. I'm kind of a pastime historian. I try to look back into past events, Civil War, Titanic, Lindenberg.
Pastime historian. What does that mean?
There's not a Rose or a Jack on the entire listings. I mean, that's kind of a common deal. I've seen the Titanic Museum, and all that stuff. Traveling exhibit.
Wait.
And the Heart of the Ocean.
In the film, you see the woman.
Carpenter.
What?
It was to sell the movie.
Hold on.
It's a love story that they made out of a tragedy.
Hold on for a minute. In the movie, the lady goes to the back of the ship and throws this necklace in the water.
Yes. It's a movie. Time to get a reality check here. Movies are not life.
Sir, I know that. I don't need that lesson. How old are you?
What's that? I'm 24.
All right, I'm 35.
Okay, so
I think
you know
I've got
a little bit more about the Titanic because you're
No, I've got a few more years on you, and I know that movies are not real. I'm saying is that movies sometimes are fictionalized accounts of real events, though.
Yeah, well, it was a real event, but it was not a fictional.
Well, the guy here in Fargo sounds like, what did you say? You're a historian?
He said he was a pastime.
Actually, I'm a graphic artist, but I did have a history minor.
In the movie, she throws the thing off the ship.
Yes.
They found it yesterday.
Yes,
sir.
In the South Pacific.
No, sir. They found it off the coast of California.
Okay.
And what do you say? They're liars?
Well, wait a minute.
I mean,
wait a minute.
Like
I want
to
know.
What National Enquirer you pulled this out of, but
sure, I didn't
no
pull it
account
out
of the Heart of the Ocean. It's a fictional event.
Okay,
it never happened.
I want to ask the gentleman in Fargo. This is Phil Henry, the host. In the movie, there's a necklace or something the woman gets.
Yeah, it's a large emerald diamond or something like that.
That's all baloney.
Yes.
Oh, bull.
It's baloney. It's Jack never existed. You know the movie.
I saw the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was baloney. Was when he rode the stern of the ship all the way down.
Yeah, well, you can tell
and got
the
sucked.
Whole the whole deal is
no. That's you can do that.
Well,
no, you can't do that.
I'm saying that you have three people that survived the Titanic up till 1995. All of them were infants.
Yeah, babies.
The whole Rose deal. Especially not being. I think she was portrayed as an 18-year-old at the time.
She lived to be over 100 years of age.
She did.
Yes, sir. That's
if
how
she lived to be 100 years of age. She'd have to be about 112.
In 1995. No, sir, that's not true. She could have been born in 1893. That would have made her a 19.
And she was the sole possessor of this Heart of the Ocean deal, and her
that
last
would have made
name
her
19. Dawson, I'm sure.
Huh?
Her last name was Dawson, I'm sure.
No, her last name was Rose DeWitt Picator. She never married Jack Dawson.
But I thought she changed her name when she came over. I saw the movie not too long ago, but I'm pretty sure she changed her name to Dawson.
Oh, so now you're messing with me.
Well, I'm trying to.
Well, what's true and what isn't, okay?
I'm telling you, they found a thing in the ocean, and it's true.
It's
totally true. This guy said that he's a graphic artist.
And
they always are talking about this stuff. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
It's like when you watch Casablanca. It's based on a true event.
Nah, that's bullcrap.
But it's a fictionalized love story.
You're telling me it's baloney, is that it?
Yes, I'm telling you.
Spit it out. Spit it out.
It's baloney.
Spit it out.
What's that?
Go ahead, say it.
What? It's baloney. It's not true. It never happened.
Say what you want to say.
He's saying it. It's baloney. It's crap.
What I wanted to say.
What do you mean?
That whole theory is
okay. So there was no
fictionalized.
Pure.
I did not find the Heart of the Ocean yet.
Pure crap.
Pure
unadulterated crap.
Exactly.
You know that hurts.
It does.
It hurts.
It does, but it's crap.
All right. Okay, sir.
So what are you trying to tell me?
That it's bull crap.
Just, you know.
We got it.
And I know we're getting off the subject.
All right, no. I got to move on. Thank you very much, okay?
Well, the guy was just about to...
He was just about to say that it's baloney. Here's Atlanta on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, I think, Art, I think you probably work for the National Enquirer, and being that you live in Los Angeles, which is the home of scandal of all scandals, in different ways other than...
No, I'm telling you that the Los Angeles Police Department's involved in one of the worst investigations in the history of the force.
Yes, I know that. I've been there quite a few times.
All right,
I know,
you know
their reputation.
You know what's going on. These guys would like nothing better than to get that onus off of them.
Yes, but to create a theory that another gentleman counteracted and told you that in physics it's just not possible. It is not physically possible from that distance, even with enough power, for a magnet to do that.
What about what about the heart of the sea?
The heart of the sea. The other gentleman that just spoke to you was very correct. The Titanic, that story Cameron created, was totally fictional based on a real event.
Well, then Cameron...
Rose, the whole story of her throwing the diamond off the back of the ship was all false.
All right, well,
it was created to make a love story.
Then I'd say that James Cameron has got a lot of explaining to do then.
Yeah.
James Cameron.
You're trusting in movies, just like you were trying to say to other people, that movies, can portray reality or vice versa.
Well, I just say that if that's what you're saying is true, James Cameron's got a lot of explaining to do.
No, he doesn't. It was a movie. He created a movie.
You've got
he
a lot of people walking out of there.
A biographical or a true-to-life story.
I think he's got a lot to answer for.
No, he has nothing to answer for. He created a movie which people paid a lot of money to go to see, which is a very good movie. It's a good love story. It's a good action movie. It's a good drama story. But it's a story.
So what are you telling me?
The heart of the sea and everything that was involved in that story, as far as Jack, Rose, and all that, was created for the movie.
So what are you telling me?
I'm telling you that...
That it's baloney. Your whole theory...
Don't hold water.
Yeah, your
no
whole
pun intended.
Your whole theory is baloney, okay? No LAPD shooting down an aircraft. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. No LAPD shooting down an aircraft. No nothing, okay? It's complete and utter baloney.
So what are you trying to say?
Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Get all these creeps out of here with their Rampart Division and their giant magnets. The heart of the ocean. That's goofy. Okay, Schaefer is on his way back. Melissa's on her way back there with Schaefer to the IKEA room here at the beautiful Premier Radio Networks building. And we're going to go in there and find out what the voting is on the... God, I can't believe that fall book. Anyway, we're going to go see what the voting is on the Willie B. Gorilla story. Now, what it was this. I'm sitting around with Schaefer and everybody, and I said, he says to me, hey, you know that gorilla that croaked in the Atlanta Zoo? I go, yeah. He says, why don't you pretend like it was a guy, a friend of yours died today, and talk about all the great things that he did for you, and then you'll get to the end of the story, and you'll tell everybody that it was the gorilla, the Willie B., the ape. And I said, well, I don't know if that's quite as funny as starting out by saying, Willie B. the Ape died today, and I knew him very well, and he taught me how to drive, and he took me to ball games, which, by the way, Willie B. was 41, I'm 47. So when exactly did he take me to ball games? Like, he was 11 when I was 17. So he's 11, he's taking me to games. I said, you know, that kind of thing. He said, no, I think the other way. So I told it his way, and then we said, you can vote on whether the story was funny or not on our website, philhenryshow.com. So right now he's running back there and he's checking it out. And he's seeing whether or not he is, whether or not what the voting looks like on that thing. Reminding you that on Sunday we'll be on King of the Hill, and that's at 7:30 Pacific and 8:30 Central. I'm also wanting you to, submit your home pages for our website. If you got a web design, you got a home page designer, any kind of a page design for our website, Send it to webmaster@philhenryshow.com. That's webmaster@philhenryshow.com. And we got the word today that we've raised about $82,000 for my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And you can order that online, too, by going to philhenryshow.com and ordering our CD, The Best of the Phil Henry Show, 1999. Communism is Neat. That's the name of it. You can get it for $23.50, $3.50 shipping and handling, $20 for the great people at my friend's place. And I'm going to tell you, they do some solid, solid work. Really happy to be associated with those fine people. Because, man, if it wasn't for them, there would just be a lot of, a lot of sick and messed up kids sitting out there. I mean, there already are a lot of sick and messed up kids. But there would be even more if it wasn't for those guys. So thank you very much for your support. I was playing some blues CDs. I don't know where those things are. But I was talking to the guys the other day when I was a kid. Here's a little... I don't know if this is interesting to you or not, but I'll tell you about it. I had a friend when I was 12 years old. And I used to ride my bike down to his house. And he would say to me... He had a guitar, he had a harmonica, he had a piano, he had all this stuff. The guy was a natural-born musician, right? So he would say to me, let's get on our bikes and ride up to the library. Come on, man, let's ride up to the library. I said, what are we going to do? I want to turn you on to something. So we'd go up to the library, two little 12-year-old white kids, you know, with my little floodwear pants and the desert boots and the white-striped, surfer T-shirt with the big surfer haircut. And we'd walk into the library, and we'd go over to the audio-visual section and sit down and start listening to this. Oh, sorry. Wasn't queued up. Well, that kind of ruined the effect, didn't it? And start listening to... It ain't working, man. Well, we'd start listening to blues is what we'd start listening to, right? You know, lightning hot... Huh? You think you put bottom one? Oh, did I put it... Well, even if I put it in the bottom one, it's... Why ain't it queuing up? Oh, there it is. And we'd start listening to this. Jesus. Blues, you know, and he'd be putting on Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee and Lightning Hopkins and Howlin' Wolf and Leadbelly. I'm 12, and I got a friend like this saying, check this out. Now listen to this Muddy Waters. Listen to Big Joe Williams or John Lee Hooker or Lightning Hopkins or Ray Charles or Memphis Slim or Big Joe Turner or Pine Top Perkins or Jimmy Reed or Canned Heat or, you know, just on and on and on and on. Mississippi John Hurt. Mississippi John Hurt, some 80-year-old man who had a song called Lovin' Spoonful, which the group got the name from. We'd sit there and listen to blues, you know? I mean, isn't that kind of a cool friend to have? I mean, you know, most kids, I got lucky because back, you know, when I was a kid, most kids were running off to the equivalent of like a video arcade. I mean, everybody was going to like slot car tracks and racing slot cars and crap like that, you know? I say I got lucky. I mean, I got turned on some pretty good music. So that by the time I got into high school, I was talking about this music, and I was listening to it. And as good as it was, it really furthered, you know, my social alienation because nobody knew what the hell I was talking about. What are you talking about, man? Well, I got a Sonny Boy Williamson album, and I thought, well, what do you mean Sonny Boy Williamson? Sonny, isn't that a horse that's running at Santa Anita? That ain't no guy, is it? Yeah, it's a guy. A horse. I knew a guy named Sonny Boy Williamson. He was a horse. Didn't sound like this. If I won, I'd be hearing this, but... So I got into that. I got into blues. And I'm not saying that I'm part Negro. I'm not saying that I grew up in a dirt shack. I'm not saying that I, you know, pick cotton. I'm just saying that I liked listening to it. And it was, two of these skinny little freaky-looking pimply-faced white boys going into a public library in Arcadia, California back in 1966 and finding these records and listening to them. Sun House, Blind Lemon Jefferson. How do I know these names? I'm sitting there, I'm listening to this stuff. Blind Lemon Jefferson, Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, Charlie Musselwhite, Big Bill Brunzi, Dave Von Ronk, Eric Von Schmidt, All right, here we go. Not funny, 683. Funny, 409. So the gorilla story was not funny by a vote of 62.55% to funny, 37.45%. Thank you very much, Mike Schaefer, and we'll be doing these polls as we progress in the Phil Henry Show through the weeks and the months to come as to whether or not that bit or this bit, that story or this story, this little bit of shtick or that little bit of shtick was indeed funny, or was it ill-conceived crap pouring from the brains of two idiots that haven't gotten enough sleep and far, far too much to drink on any given weekend. Yes, that will be coming up here on the Phil Henry Show. Thank you for your patronage. And now, getting back to Tales of My Youth, Tales of Wells Fargo. Hello, I'm Ronald Reagan, and this is 20 Mule Team Borax. So I'm listening to that stuff, right? Which beats the hell out of what I was listening to up to that point, which was Cal's Corral on, like, Channel 13, when he'd have on these country bands on Sunday morning at, like, 9 o'clock. I'd flip the TV on because I was the only one awake, and I'd go and I'd sit with my jaw hanging down, with my jaw hitting the bowl of Cheerios. I'd sit and stare into a screen filled with these rhinestone cowboys, these really rhinestoned-out cats, and, you know, maybe some doll with really the piled-on hair, bleached until there was no life left in it, standing there in one of them Western dresses, and singing, I don't know, you know, When the Next Teardrop Falls or something, right? And one day I flip on the TV set, and here's this funky country show, right? It was one of those shows that had the curtains with the name of the show written on the curtains. And when the curtain opened, the name of the show would separate. And then standing there would be this country band. Now, keep in mind, it's a local TV stage, local TV station. The stage is very, you know, production values are a little cheap. And there really isn't a lot in terms of set, but... And, you know, then a guy would run out, well, we'll get back to the music, but come on down and buy a Chevrolet, and here's what it looks like, you know. And they'd sell a car, then they go to this band. And one morning I'm watching this, and on comes the band, and the woman, because they all, it just didn't look right, a lot of these people. First the guy's singing, then he's playing drums, and then he's selling cars. That's what, I swear, this is what the show was. First he's singing, then he's playing drums, backing up the singer, and then he's pitching, selling cars. And then he's out on the street hitchhiking home after the show's over. And so the woman in his band had an eye that was slightly closed. And I'm watching this thing. I'm watching this, and she's singing whatever, you know, what the hell's a country song? What? Like, this land is your land. I don't know what the hell she's singing. And she's got this eye that's, one eye is fully open. Hi, everybody. My name is Daisy May, and welcome to Cal's Corral. We're going to get right back to the music, but remember, you can come on down here and get a good Dodge. And she's talking to me with one eye perfectly open and the other one sort of drooping and half closed. And then I realize it's country music. Last night, her boyfriend just clocked her. This is a country band. So last night, her husband just gave her a black eye. And she comes back out the next morning singing the songs. Country music is the only music, and I'm not putting it down, because I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be doing something here in the days to come with Vic Prell called Country with a K, and it's going to be good. But it's the only music where the performers are physically maimed. In many instances, they're physically maimed. Yeah. Country music is the only musical genre, not even in rock and roll. Yeah, I am the Def Leppard cat with the one arm, but that's about it. But in country, you have guys with, like, one eye, it's just turned up in the socket. Well, I'm going down to California. And it's just one good eye and one eye, just that, like, white eyeball. You ever seen people like that? They got the one, you know, this, the eye is kind of rolled up. Or he only has three fingers. But I'll tell you, he's a hell of a slide guitar, and it becomes it's a badge of honor, right? The guy plays a hell of a slide guitar with only two fingers, because the other three were blown off one night when he stuck his hand into the mailbox of his wife's lover, trying to put a rattlesnake in there, and it was a hand grenade. Who the hell knows what happened to this guy's hand? He got his fingers cut off in a mill accident in prison. And now he's out and he's doing his thing. Enter goes Slim Johnson. I'll tell you, this cat is out of sight, man. Three-finger brown. You know, the guy was in San Quentin and he got his fingers caught in the license plate press. And the dude is out now and he's doing okay. He's got a couple of albums on Columbia. Two fingers. Or another guy is missing an ear. Or the guy, and now folks, let's bring him out, Slim Harpo, and the guy's dragging a leg behind him as he comes out on the stage. That's the only music in the world where the performers have been mutilated physically. But it's good, and we'll show you how much we love it in the, as the days and weeks to come. Django Reinhardt, who's he? Is he a real guy with like one leg? Django Reinhardt, I'm told by my producer, is a jazz guitar player who, what, has like half of his face blown away or something? What are you trying to tell me, man? He's got three fingers? Cool. Django Reinhardt, three-finger Django. Phil Henry, 1-800... Oh, man. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Henry talking about maimed musicians here, 1-800-449-8686. So my dad introduced me to a war buddy of his. This was like a guy, he wasn't in the war with this guy. This is a guy that he met after the war. But all these World War II guys started hanging out, you know, they started buying houses, having kids, and hanging out. What must that have been like? Early 50s, you buy a house, have a barbecue, invite people over to drink out of those cool-looking fluted beer glasses, and they're all a bunch of guys that were tossing hand grenades like 5 years before. So anyway, my old man, always the joker, he says, "Hey, I want you to meet Mr. Brown. Come on over here, Phil." So at that time, I got shoulder-length hair, and I'm a bum and a freak and, you know, all of that crap. So this Mr. Brown, this guy got his hand blown off, or part of his hand blown off with a Japanese hand grenade in the South Pacific, okay? The guy's real hardcore. Really hardcore. So, anyway, he's got like two fingers, half of a mangled hand, and something that looks like a thumb. And he's like, "How you doing, kid? Put her there." You ever had a guy extend something like that to you to shake? "Yeah, I've heard a lot about you, Phil. Put her there," you know? And his hand is just like, oh, God, messed up. "You ought to see the other guy." Yeah. So, you know, I've encountered that, not just on early morning country music shows, but in my life, in my personal life. You know, guys walking up to you, you know, with just dragging a leg going, "Hi, Phil, want to do a little one-on-one? A little basketball or something? I know I've got a, you know, I had a friend of mine had polio, wanted me to go golfing with him, which is fine. He was on, you know, those metal crutches. And, you know, he's waddling. I'd say he beat me. You want to go home and start drinking? Just pour yourself a stiff drink. Have a guy who has polio beat you in golf. You'll go home and pour yourself a long, stiff drink." Bobby Church, great guy. Was in radio with him in Orlando, and he had polio from birth. So he had these kind of shriveled up legs, big upper body. And he was on these crutches, and he'd go out there and he'd prop himself up on one crutch, use his other arm to hit the ball. And I went out and I golfed with him one day, and this sucker beat me by about 7 strokes. I swear to God. And I don't think, I went home and I didn't stop drinking for 3 days. Just a guy with polio beating me. God damn. You know, but I don't know where he is now. I think he's dead. So anyway, I won that one. No, I'm kidding. He's fine. He's back home. He's back there on the farm someplace. He's doing okay. He's all right. But then he died from lung failure because somebody unplugged it one time, so I won. No, he's okay. Okay, guys, so don't forget, A, I listened to a lot of blues growing up. B, I saw a woman on a country music show whose husband gave her a black eye. D, some guy with a bad hand made me shake at one time. And let's see, A, B, C, D, E. Don't forget about our homepage contest. Just send it to Webmaster at webmaster@philhenryshow.com. A, B, C, D, E, F. Don't forget about the King of the Hill episode that I'll be appearing on coming up this Sunday night, 7:30. And finally, A, we got that Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, which is available over our website, philhenryshow.com. We've made $82,000. Maybe we'll have another radiothon. Maybe not. But every little bit helps. We're doing about a grand a day. And, you know, get one for a friend, for a neighbor, for someone you don't like. Phil Henry Show, Best of the Phil Henry Show, 99 CD. Communism is neat. Put her there.
They said our love was never meant to be. That time would make it just a memory. But they don't know, how can they understand? We didn't build no castles in the sand. Storm this tower of love.